Hello and welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm going to try to do a short and sweet one. Not a lot has been happening on the reading front, man. I've been working a lot of hours and been pretty exhausted. I have been watching a lot more TV, and I don't know if it's just like I haven't been able to read or what. I finally completed The Gifted, which I thought was remarkable. Like I could be my favorite representation of mutants on TV or the big screen. I just love the way they're representing both sides of the equation and in this war between humanity and the mutants. It's tough, man, when you're in a situation like that, and you have division of family and stuff, and it's like, who would you side with? You have to weigh everything, and oh man, it's such a good show. I love Thunderbird. He's so good. And Polaris, and it just, and the two Strucker kids. Oh my God, it's good. It's intense. And then when they introduced the Cuckoos, holy moly, shit just went off the fan. Yeah, I've really been digging The Gifted, and I've started Cloak and Dagger, which is a little slower paced, but it's very, very entertaining, and the actors are tough. I mean, they're awesome. That tough, that's a crazy word to use. They're awesome. To watch in these t which I think are tougher roles to play because of the situations and the cards that they've been dealt. But I'm on the first season, and I've finished the first five episodes, so making my way through that. I wish the new fall season wasn't starting up yet, so I wish the new fall season of TV would wait like 2 years to start so I can get caught up on everything. But it's already starting to funnel through, and I don't know how I'm gonna keep that DVR from filling up. I'm just gonna have to start deleting stuff. But I did get one comic in today. It was Captain Atom. I have like three more issues to complete. Number 79 on the Charlton comics. So Charlton started out in Space Adventures, I think, Captain Atom. I don't have all of those yet, but I have all the DC stuff, and I thought, I was close to finishing the Charlton Captain Atom, so I might as well go forth. And I bought this one off of eBay. It came in. It's really nice shape. I looked at the pictures, and it looked really impressive. The other thing I want to report is I don't usually sell comics, but I got a Batman Damned in the mail. Well, I bought one from the shop, which they pulled one for me. And then I forgot I ordered two. I ordered the two variant covers for the Damned, Batman the Damned, because I wanted one of each. And I forgot I ordered both covers. And normally I wouldn't sell, but because I had dupes of one cover, I decided to sell. And that book is hot. I don't know if it's hot because, well, I think it's hot for a couple reasons. The print run isn't very high, so, and the demand is exceeding the print run. And then the other thing is it's got a controversial Bruce Wayne dick, and they show. I don't know why they chose to do it because it really serves no purpose, but controversy sells. So you put Bruce Wayne's dick in there in two panels. He's pretty well endowed because he's not hard in the panels, but it's just hanging, he's not like porn endowed, but he's got a dingling. And I haven't read it yet, but I got it from DCBS, and I immediately put it. I have Mylar magazine ones because I keep my back issue magazines, and if I get a comic scene or anything, I put them in the Mylar and half backs of magazine size. So I was glad I had them because I put it in, and it's currently up for auction, and it's going like I went high on the shipping because I want to put it in a box. So I said, oh, what should I go for shipping? And I know that the first priority mail box is going to be $16 to ship. And I put it for 10, hoping I could get the $6 back. So I bought this comic for like $4.11 with the discount. And it's already at like $45 plus the 10, so it's at $55, and there's still 3 more days to go. I think it won't go too much higher. I think they're like marketing in the 50s. If it goes much higher past 50, I'll be shocked. But I played the game and I got one for sale. And I don't know if Barb's on her way home, so I'm gonna try to get through some weekly reads. Let's see, where was I? Okay, so we're going to start with April 4th, 2018, going to April 15th, 2018. We're going to start at the totals. For that week, I had a little bit of a distribution. Had a total of 39 books. I can tell you I was into the Clone Saga, and there was a high focus on Spider-Man. 'Cause I was hitting like a stride there. I had 23 books of Marvel. I had a total of 39 books. 23 were Marvel, 13 were Image, one was DC, one is Scout, and one is Zenoscope. As far as the Image, this was the time where I was getting really into Cyberforce and Aphrodite. I went on this tear and read a lot of Image. I even threw a Bloodstrike in there in a Isola and some other stuff. But let's start at the bottom. I have a 2 out of 5, believe it or not. And I didn't continue with this one. I think I picked this one off the shelf at the comic shop. I didn't order it. And I'm kind of glad I didn't, because then I would have had two more. There's nothing wrong with it. This will appeal to a lot of other people. It just wasn't for me. So it was about a woman that protects a tiger, a very artistic view. So if you like something like The Jungle Book or something like that, you may dig this Isola number one. The art was nice, but the story didn't really do it for me. It didn't like have a hook in there to grab me, so I gave it a 2 out of 5. That's for me personally. I think a lot of other people would give it higher. It just wasn't in my particular wheelhouse. I then had a Scout book, which was Welcome to Paradise. This one I wasn't too hot on. I enjoyed it. The art wasn't like in my wheelhouse. The concept of it was really cool because anytime you have like a race, like wacky races and shit like that, I kind of dig it. So that was the stuff that kept it that I liked it. A gangster places a hit on the winner of the race. The race is won by someone, and the prize is what they are after. So it was kind of like a futuristic type race, and yeah, it was pretty interesting. I like the concept a lot more than the execution, but I continued with it. We have a 3 out of 5. This one I'm surprised I gave a 3 out of 5, and I'm thinking it's just because the Spider-Mans and the Cyberforce were hitting such a stride for me. And this one came along because this one I know on futuristic episode future issues I had to have graded these a 4 out of 5. But Peekaboo, which is a horror book from Zenoscope, it's a bunch of missing hikers in the Utah area. They're getting killed by a group of monsters, almost like cannibals out there. And the story fleshes itself out a lot more over subsequent issues, and it reminds me a lot of The Hills Have Eyes, but instead of a crazy like family that was like nuked or had radiation, it's like these cannibals. I don't know where they came from. But they're out slaughtering this tour. They're on like a hiking tour, and there's a lot of different families. Some have two people, like a father son, and then another family is like a military family. They're interesting. They're like the main family, and I really enjoyed this. It is stereotypical horror, but I really dig stereotypical horror. Really good book from Zenoscope. I give it a 3 out of 5, but after I read the others, if I had grouped them together, it would have been a 4 out of 5. We then go into the 4 out of 5s. We have Totally Awesome Hulk 19 through 23. Why did I read this? It's because I got into the Weapon H stuff, and this was the Weapon H stuff. I don't even think I read this. I read some of it in print and some digitally because I had dropped, believe it or not, Totally Awesome Hulk. But it's a crossover with Weapon X and the last issue when they shoot Armadeus into space. So that's how Armadeus gets into like World War Hulk type scenario. We then have Weapon X 1 through 9. This is the Weapon X organization led by Stryker and Roxxon is after these mutants to make Weapon H a Hulk-based Wolverine type character. I don't have the first appearance of Weapon H, believe it or not. We have Bloodstrike number 2. I think that his first appearance was in Totally Awesome Hulk when I had dropped it, but I did read it digitally. At some point when that book drops off the face of the earth, which I think it will, I will probably get that issue. We have Bloodstrike number 2. This is Bloodstrike history, and he runs into Blood Wolf. If you remember him, he started up in like Liefeld's Image anthology book, I believe. I don't remember what it was called. Darker Image. I think that's where Blood Wolf came out at. We have RX Son of Thunder number 1. A Native American boy is raised by Vikings, and they invade various monk territories. The second invasion, they run across a sorceress and her brother that breaks the Viking ship, and they kill Arok's mentor. This was a DC comic, and I recently started getting Arok Son of Thunder, and I have a good run of it. I do need to complete it. I didn't buy all of it. I think I made sure I had the first dozen or so. Let's see. I have 1 through 16. I'm missing 17, 18, 21, 24, and then 28 through 50, and then annual 1. I did buy the first Todd McFarlane poster that came in one of these stories. His first appearance, he did like an insert, and I think it's in here. I can't remember where I saw it. It must have been a tweet. It's not in my database. Maybe it is. No, it's not. Oh, it is. It's issue 45. I have that and I didn't mark it. I gotta put that in. It's the Todd McFarlane pinup of Vallada. That's interesting that I didn't put it in. Now I'm concerned. But that was RX Son of Thunder. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. A lot of Cyber Force and a lot of Spider-Man. We have Cyber Force 11. It's the conclusion to the title where Velocity thinks Stryker and the others are dead. She stays behind with her mom. Killjoy and Ripclaw have a kid. This was a really good series. And then I got into the Aphrodite 9. And number 2 through 11. Or sorry. Yeah, 2 through 11, issues 2 through 11. It's humans versus cyborgs in a post-apocalyptic tale where Aphrodite is being controlled by the cyborgs. She destroys the green circle and temporarily gains control. When she was in controlled, it was like 20 minutes, and then she killed 4 of the Royal Circle on Genesis and fell in love with the prince. So she basically slaughtered his family. She was banished and went to attack the cyborg headquarters with Aphrodite 15. They killed the leadership and tried to take control of the place when the humans attacked. The gods got involved and destroyed Genesis. Aphrodite found out she is one of the gods. So that's when things got like crazy because it made like the Aphrodites and linked them all to like gods. This was a cool post-apocalyptic thing. It was really entertaining. 5 out of 5. Then I have Spider-Man 57, 58, 123, so through 124, Spectacular Spider-Man 22 through 224, and Amazing Spider-Man 400 and 401. And I was reading this one in the Clone Saga Omnibus Volume 1. Amazing Spider-Man number 400, probably one of my favorite Spider-Mans ever written in history. Let me tell you a little bit about some of these books. Aunt May comes out of the coma. MJ finds something might be wrong with the baby because she's pregnant at this time. Aunt May dies, but spends some quality time with Peter when she is released from the hospital. So that actually had me in tears when Aunt May died. Jackal was arrested, but he kind of wanted it in that way. In other words, he wanted to be arrested, or else he wouldn't have been arrested. Kane hunts more Spider-Man villains because he's on a rampage hunting some of his arch nemesis. Peter is arrested for murder and sent to prison. Another Peter is walking around. That clone turns out to be a monster while Kane is trying to protect MJ from that monster. Peter has to break out of prison to save Mary Jane from Kane, who is trying to protect Mary Jane, and the Traveler gets involved again. A lot of shit going down. Fucking awesome. This series was crapped on, and I am so glad that I didn't listen to people that didn't like the Clone Saga because I did. So the 5 out of 5s went to Spider-Man and Cyber Force and Aphrodite, which were very tightly coupled. We then get into the next week, which is 4/16 2018 through 4/22 2018, and I think I'm gonna stop because Barb's gonna get here soon, but we've got a total of 17. Two quality comics. These are the quality 10-cent edition Golden Age comics. We have Titan number 2. This is Titan Comics. I've talked a lot about them a few episodes ago. We have Marvel. We had only one issue. Lion Forge had one. Kickstarter had one. Image had 5, Black Mask 2, 1 Alterna, and 2 Action Lab. You can tell that week was a geek brunch week, man. A really good distribution of comics as far as what was being read. Don't you want to go out? You were knocking. Do you know what knocking means? It means you want to go out. But you lied to me. You don't want to go out, Harley. It's because it's damn cold. All right. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have Cyber Force Artifacts. I believe this had to be the result of some contest because I never heard of the creators. And I thought it was like mediocre type stories. Harley scared the crap out of me. She's squeaking her toy. And I didn't know what the hell that was. We then get into the 4 out of 5s, which is the factory. It's a post-apocalyptic tale where there are no animals left and food is scarce. A prophet baby predicts the future and warns the leader of a pig-faced person. That pig-faced person is on a mission with a group, and they run into a monkey that promises them food, but is it poisoned? The factory prepares for a food inspection, it should be. I can't even type. They are not supposed to be eating meat, but they are. So meat's kind of outlawed. So this is pretty interesting. The reason I read this is I got I don't own this one. I got a preview copy of it, and I heard Martin talking about it on Comic Talk today. It sounded pretty interesting, and I tried it. I may get it in print just to get that in collection. The next one was Come Into Me. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I might have sounded like on Geek Brunch that I didn't enjoy it, but I obviously gave it a 4 out of 5, low 4 out of 5. But a man developed a way where two people can share experiences within each other's bodies. I just don't get why anyone would want to do this. or what the medical advancement is. I had trouble understanding the linkage. What are you doing? Harlequin, you're gonna fall. You're gonna fall. Get off of there. What are you doing? What are you doing, monkey? Don't jump down there. Those are comics. I don't want you. Go this way. Hey, muchacha. All right. Sorry about that. Yeah, that one was a little bit on the pretentious side, in my opinion, the way it's written. But what do I know about pretentiousness? We got Crack Comics. This is from Quality Comics. This is a black condor. I'm trying to get Golden Age appearances of the Freedom Fighters, and this is what one of them I got. I think this is the one that I got as a birthday gift. I can't remember if it was Black Condor or the Ray, but I think it's Black Condor. The crow captures Black Condor's girlfriend. He was raised by condors in Mongolia. And if you know Black Condor, he's a freedom fighter. DC Comics owns him right now. And that is where the crow takes her. The crow is just an ordinary villain with no special powers or abilities. The second story is a story about Spitfires, about two American fighter pilots that have to deliver supplies to their British friends. The Japanese are trying to prevent that from happening. Really good comic, really entertaining. Enjoyed it a lot. I think I talked about it in a Mike M's DC Spotlight in more detail. We got Tinseltown number one. This is Alterna. This is my favorite Alterna, I'll just flat out say, for me personally. As a child, this girl, that the main character, loses her father as he is shot in the head as a police officer in Hollywood. She later becomes a secretary and wants to follow in her father's path. She gets a job as a security guard at a Hollywood studio. At the end, is confronted with the jumper. This happens in like right before the 1920s, so like at the birth of the Hollywood. And it's a really fascinating story. We then get into the Beef number one. This really started off really strong for me, and then as it became an anti-eating meat type book, it kind of like made me feel bad about myself and eating meat. So I didn't like about it from that perspective, but it is a good quality story that's entertaining. This is from Image Comics. A boy and his father that kills cows at a beef factory are bullied by town racists, like high school students, or maybe a little after high school. The father has eaten so much fast food, he looks at it as it granted him powers of some sort. And it's really not the father. The father died. I mistyped this. The father of the boy died in the beef factory accident that he got. He kind of fell into the grinder. The son, who works at the factory now, and he does, kill the cows. That's his job, to make beef. He's eaten so much fast food that it has granted him the powers of some sort, and he becomes the beef. We then have Breathless number one. This is from Black Mask. A woman and her assistant find the cure for asthma while dissecting a hisser, and a hisser is an alien type being. One day they get to work and things are strangely quiet, and they find most of the staff is slaughtered by an alien. Really good. I have asthma, so I could relate to this type story. We have Gideon Falls number one. A priest dies in Gideon, and a replacement is sent there unwillingly. Meanwhile, there is a mental patient who has recently released that seems to be collecting debris from the town. He is seeing a doctor who thinks he needs to be remitted. The priest is woken up in the middle of the night by the dead priest, and he follows him into the field where he sees a barn and the dead lady that welcomed him into that town. And with that, I'm going to take a break and come back. And my wife just came home, and Harley's happy to see her. So I will talk to you in a bit. And I'm back. That was a long pause for for the cause. But Barb was hungry and we wanted to go eat. So now it's the next day. We're thinking about going to a movie, but after seeing Barb's pick Searching, it's hard to pick a another movie that's that at that level good. And I know nothing I pick will be at that level, but I think we're thinking about Hell House, Peppermint, or Predator. And nowhere I know for a fact it's not gonna be as good as Searching. But it's my pick this week, and it's I don't know. Do I want to see a revenge story? Do I want to see a predator killing a bunch of people? Or do I want to see some kind of horror movie based on a Hell House, Halloween House? I don't know. It's tough. I'll like either any of them. I'll tell you that right now, just because I'm simple. But I'll continue back where Harley was going nuts because Barb came home. So I talked about Gideon Falls. This is also being made into a either a TV or movie. We'll see how that turns out. Should be interesting. When you get priests and horror together, you know, religion and horror, it tends to work. At least for me, it does. Although I haven't seen The Nun, I still want to see The Nun. My mother-in-law said it's a tint pretentious. I have some. I was listening to the latest Nerdy Legion. I was walking Harley. And they're talking about Grant Morrison and how people really don't describe how they don't like Grant Morrison. I'm about 50-50 on Grant Morrison. When he tells a story like Batman and Robin or All-Star Superman or Justice League of America, I really dig it. His Batman Rest in Peace, it had good moments, but it didn't flow well. Like, to me, it was just choppy bits of great pieces that didn't have like a sequential. I like things to flow. You know, like you watch water and it flows downstream, it just flows. That's what I like it to do. I don't like it to make me stop and say, what the fuck? I don't like to analyze somebody's acid trip. For one thing, I don't do drugs. I've never wanted to do drugs. I always wanted to be aware of what I do. I've never drank myself into a tizzy where I wasn't aware of what I was doing. I know when to stop. I didn't start drinking until I was like 23 or 24. It was really late in life. And even then, I didn't like it. And I only have a beer like once a year now. I don't like it. I'm so glad I don't like this kind of shit because that shit's expensive and it'll take money away from buying comics. But anyway, that's why I don't like Morrison stuff. Like when Animal Man started, it was real. I did like his Doom Patrol and Animal Man. It's on the cusp there because there's things that are fucked up, like when he's in the Roadrunner and Coyote thing, and then there's things that are grounded, like with his relationship with Ellen and his kids and stuff like that. See, that's the stuff I relate to. In Doom Patrol, it gets pretty wacky, and I actually prefer like the Kupperberg versions of, you know, other things that are done with Doom Patrol where it is more grounded, not as wacky, but that's just me. I don't like to have to sit there and try to analyze somebody's drug mindscape and find meaning in it. I'm too lazy of a reader, I'll be honest. I have 70,000 plus comics, and that doesn't include trades. Probably, oh my God, I can't even tell you how many collected editions. I don't have time to sit there and analyze somebody's drug mindscape. I just don't. And I'm kind of concerned about Green Lantern, actually. For me personally, I'm pretty happy with where it's been ever since Geoff Johns took over and Venditti and all the different writers I've enjoyed. I like the idea of him becoming a space cop, but I worry that he's gonna go do some peyote and he's like gonna be fighting somebody in his mind or something like that. And that could happen, you know. You got Hector Hammond and a couple of villains that could fuck with them, but I don't know. For me personally, I'm starting to revisit the new Doom Patrol to see if I feel any different, like Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, but they only had 19 and 20 on the DC app, and I don't feel like lifting. Back in that time frame, there were long boxes, and I didn't convert those long boxes to drawer boxes. If I had the drawer boxes, I would just go over there and drawer myself my Doom Patrol run, but it's not that accessible, unfortunately. And I just haven't had any time off to get things in order. But anyway, that's a sidebar. Let's get into a Lionforge book. This is a Lionforge UK type book, not UK. What am I looking for? A translated book from Europe somewhere. This is a soldier on a ship is on their way to the Andromeda Galaxy, is getting ready for a year to leave. She wants to have a child and is tagging suitors, and these are like different alien species, to see if they're sufficient. Like, she's asking questions, she's doing the stuff on the ship. She's really sexy. These aliens are pretty fucking lovely, ugly, but she just wants to have a baby. The ship runs into a huge graveyard of objects, and in the middle of space, and she has to investigate. I have these new glasses that I have, and they're designed for seeing far. But man, it makes my vision like 20/20. But it hampers my reading ability, and my other glasses are, I don't know, they're pretty far away, so I'm too lazy to go get them. So, bear with me. The ship runs into a huge graveyard of objects in the middle of space, and she has to investigate an alien race that is on the ship that eats dead bodies and also leaves. Not leaves. I don't know what I meant by that. Also leaves. That eats dead bodies, also leaves. Don't know what the fuck. They eat dead bodies and dead stuff, remnants left behind. They consume corpses. I think they want to destroy the ship and eat the dead. It is like a drug to them. And then some of these alien beings are like on the ship that she was on, and she gets pulled into this fiasco. The art is really good. If you like the heavy metal cartoon, or you've read any of the heavy metal magazine, in their sci-fi realm, you should check this out. It's got some of the humor. If you like the sci-fi movie heavy metal, it's really worth your while to give it a shot. And I went and switched glasses, which the prescription drops a little bit, but it makes reading tolerable. I need to get progressive lenses, which is like the new term for bifocals, except there's no division. It's like a gradual look down type thing for the, to read and then look straight or out to see in distance. This will affect a lot of people that are getting old, and I'm getting old, unfortunately. But, that was a 4 out of 5. So then we get into World War X, number 3. This is an alien type book from Titan Comics. I really like this. This is an interesting read, as sarcophagus have been here since before Christ, and when they are released, they start taking over the world. Helios, almost immortal, defeated him. This is like a past being in the past that needs to help the two scientists currently, or the aliens will take over the world. We then get into Quality Comics. This is Quality slash DC, because DC acquired Quality Comics, and I've grown a fondness for Black Hawk. Military Comics number 2. Black Hawk finds out about a radioactive element that the Nazis are after, and they have to beat them to the punch. They also meet an English pilot and escort him to Black Hawk Island. Man, this sounds like the serial I was reading. Watching the black and white. They go into a mission and get the element before the Nazis and almost die. A handicapped World War I veteran saves them. Like he's on one of the, he doesn't have legs. He's on one of those carts that he pushes around. He blocks them as they're running away. When they're about to board the planes, the Nazi planes come to kill them, and the coward pilot that they escorted back to Black Hawk Island ends up saving all of them and making the ultimate sacrifice. Really good comic book. Man, you know, there's sometimes you can look at like Golden Age art. Like, I'm starting to dig Golden Age Superman a little more than the art in Golden Age Batman. But Black Hawk, these quality comics, they are far beyond, at least for my eyes, the artistic stuff that we see in the early DC superhero stuff. And it could be because it happened, it did happen later. I need to go get something to drink. Drinking some Sunny Delight. It's not the best orange juice for you. It's a real sweet one. But every now and then I get a craving for Sunny Delight. I don't know why that is. We then get into Aphrodite, my journey through Aphrodite and Cyberforce. This actually is a crossover between them. Aphrodite 9 and Cyberforce number 1. It links the two titles together, and you discover how Mother is Velocity. So the mother of Aphrodite is Velocity from Cyberforce. And how she had to kill her mom to save humanity. It talks about the origins of the Sanctuary and all of the Nine, which leads to the Nine series, which I had to track down. I have bought it since. Also, there are links here into the darkness. I really got into this Top Cow world, and this is a glimpse of the rabbit hole that I go down. Okay. I went down the Spider-Man one. I went down this one. I went down the quality Golden Age comics. These are all rabbit holes, and my mind shifts on these rabbit holes. And a comic that I'm so into will let me dive into another comic because there's a mention of something, there's an ad of something. I just love comics. This 4 out of 5 is a Kickstarter. Probably one of my favorite Kickstarters. It wasn't quite a 5 out of 5, but damn, it was pretty damn good. It was a one shot. It was a Kickstarter about a drug that someone takes to cure things, okay? Like cure ailments or cure diseases and stuff like that. And one guy that has been using it for a while does some sky jumping, and when his chute fails to open, he finds out this drug has made him immortal, but at the cost of not being able to heal. So it doesn't necessarily cure stuff, but it doesn't let you die either. So he's sitting in a hospital bed with every single bone in his body broken, all his organs all over the place, and just he's living. The drug was being used in many drugs, you know, over-the-counter drugs, and has made the world become docile because everyone is afraid of getting hurt and they won't heal. A woman has developed the opposite, where she can do a rapid heal, and the government has captured her daughter. Really good story. The thing with Kickstarters is I don't know if there'll be another issue. I assume I'll get an email if they decide to do another one. But really good concept. Very well done. Artist was the art was very good. This could be an Image book or an Aftershock book or any of those, Vault or Scout, and it would succeed, I think. At least fall into that 3,000 copies sold if people caught on, because it was really good. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. We have I was gonna say Ape Entertainment. Well, that was a interesting company, but this is Action Lab. I sometimes get those confused. I don't know why in my head, but Ape seemed to happen around the time that Comic Geek Speak was sort of well on their way. And a matter of fact, their publishing thing did a Comic Geek Speak fanzine. I forget what it's called, but I have it upstairs. And there were only 3 issues, but Brian Deemer and Peter and Murd, and they all had articles. Even Derek Coward had a podcasting article in there. So it was sort of a magazine by podcasters for fans. And unfortunately, comic magazines have not found a way into the marketplace because of what I blame is digital. I fucking hate it. I wish I could go back in time and get rid of it. But it makes my friends happy, so I guess it makes me happy. But I miss fanzines, and they've tried. Bleeding Cool has tried to do one. Ace has tried to do one. ACE. That was close to Wizard, and that didn't last because of sales. The only ones that seem to keep going. And they do have a digital presence because you could get a digital subscription as Back Issue Magazine, Alter Ego, and Jack Kirby Collector. Tomorrow's Publishing seems to still be viable, and there's enough readers there. I'll tell you one thing, that Back Issue Magazine, if you want a magazine about comics in the Bronze Age, sometimes it goes past the Bronze Age, but for most it's the Bronze Age. You won't regret it. And the thing is, if you ha I wouldn't buy it if you don't have money. Because it will want you to, the articles will want you to buy these issues. It'll make you itchy. It makes you itch and scratch. It's like, I gotta buy these issues. What do I gotta do? Anyway, Action Lab, Harcourt Legacy, number 2 and 3. The grandmother convinces the rock star who wants to purchase the property to leave with a magic spell, and he does leave. The great uncle dies, but he wants his daughter of the family to inherit the magic, and this is his grandniece, I guess. The grandmother wants the granddaughter to stay with her to discover magic. For all of her intentions, for her, the grandmother's intentions, the daughter decides to get the rock star back and to buy the mansion so her family can survive their financial troubles. Really good story. Highly recommended. 5 out of 5. That means I loved it. We got Defender 20. I have been reliving my love for the Defenders, and I don't know if everybody would love it as much as me, but there's so much for me to just love about the Defenders. Mostly Steve Gerber's writing, but it has so much depth. Like I don't even know how to describe it. It's just amazing. The Defenders rescue Val from her evil mom and brother, the Nameless Ones. It also stars the Nameless Ones, sorry. We then get into Oblivion Song number 1, which was the Kirkman book. A transference has occurred which zapped humans to some alien world. A scientist developed a technology to go to the world and rescue people. The funding has dried up, and he continues to look for his brother. That was the 5 out of 5. So we had Action Lab, Danger Zone, Harcourt Legacy might have not been a Danger Zone. It might have just been straight at Action Lab. I don't remember. I'm gonna look it up for you because I think that's a key. Because I think it's all ages. They have their Danger Zone, which is for mature readers. Oh, it does say mature readers. I don't remember any mature themes in Harcourt Legacy. But it is a Danger Zone. I think it could have fallen under their just proper Action Lab, but that's just me. So Harcourt Legacy Action Lab, we had a Marvel comic, Defenders, Classic Defenders Volume 1, number 20. We have Oblivion Song number 1, Image Comics. So that was a good week. We'll then get back into this is April 23rd through April 29th. And we only had 18 books that week. I must have had a lot to say about them, but we had 3 Marvel and 15 DC if I counted everything right. We had Spider-Man: The Clone War Journal. I don't even own this. This is a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. It's a recap of Ben Reilly's story at a very, very high level, so it's a way to catch up on it. It is in the omnibus. That's how I read it. I don't own this physical copy. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. I own all of these physically, but I may have read some of them digitally. I'll tell you as I go through and why I did what I did. We have Matt. I was reading Man Bat. It had a trade. It wasn't the Arkham Asylum Man Bat. It was just called Man Bat. It had Bruce Jones Man Bat and a couple other things. Showcase Man Bat, a mini series about Man Bat. And I do own every single Man Bat comic ever published. Now, there was one I was missing from one of these volumes, and I rectified that by making an order to mycomicshop.com, and now I own it. But we had Man Bat 1 through 5. This is Man Bat is being, this is a 4 out of 5, is being blamed for the killings in Gotham, but it's really Hush using Murmur to frame Kirk Langstrom. Francine and family are slaughtered. It is a dark take. I think that's the Bruce Jones run. Let me verify that for you in case anybody's interested. Man Bat is pretty freaking cool character. So you had the first series, which was only 2 comics during the implosion time period. You had reprints of Man Bat in the Brave and the Bold and other stuff. That was a second volume. You had a third volume, which was 3 issues. That's the one I needed to replace, was like number 3 of this series. Number 3 was the first appearance of Aaron Langstrom. Very important. The one that I gave the 4 out of 5 to was Bruce Jones, and the artist was Mike Huddleston. This had a very horror take. Some people are iffy on Bruce Jones, but damn it, I guess he was a big horror writer in the 70s, but I never experienced him into the 90s. Or the 2000s. So, yeah, I know he took over Checkmate and people shit on that. I don't think it was that bad. I really don't. It wasn't at the level that Rucka or was doing it, but he had a Hulk run, which one of the movies was kind of based on, the Mr. Blue and Mr. Green or whatever they called. I love the Bruce R Jones run of Hulk. So I really dug it. And then this series, I really like it because it took a whole, like a darker take. Like the whole family was slaughtered at the end of this. And we know that that's been retconned out, at least in New 52, because his wife and stuff. But that was a cool series. The third series, I think I ranked higher. That was by Chuck Dixon and Flint Henry, and it started off in Showcase, and we'll get into those. So that was also in the trade, but I must have gone down to Brave and the Bold, and I think I read these digitally. I know why. This is I read these Brave and the Bolds because I think Chris Campbell told me to read them so I can come on an episode of Gotham by Geeks, and then he forgot to invite me, so I never went on it. But I was all right. I survived. They don't want me on their show anymore. I understand. So I'm just kidding. I read the these issues to prep for it, and I really enjoyed them. And I also own these physical. I read them digitally. No, I didn't. I read these in a the hardcover. Because I didn't want to have to buy them digitally. So we got Brave and the Bold 124. Batman and Sergeant Rock are trying to stop gun runners with the help of Bob Haney. Cra Zany Haney is what they call him. Jim Aparo and the editor. They actually have they act, what I mean by that is they actually starred Jim Aparo and the editor in this story. They write them out of the situations in the form of a comic book. So it's like one of those Grant Morrison type twists. Grant Morrison does this shit all the time. Are you reading the comic? Or are you part of the comic? And somebody else is reading your life. That's Grant Morrison's. I think Grant Morrison studied the Zany Haney formula. And they're fun. But they're not like crazy, I'm gonna take an acid trip kind of Zany Haney. They're just crazy stories. Brave and the Bold 123. Bruce is trying to save an African nation by returning an artifact to them. Kind of like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Do you remember that village was suffering and then Indy had to go find that artifact and he got and caught in that? That's kind of like what Bruce had to do with this African nation. He asked Plastic Man to be Batman while he is gone. Plaz falls under the spell of Ruby Rider. Plaz, as Batman, arrests Bruce for murder. Metamorpho breaks Bruce out of prison so they can go steal the statue, and Rex poses as the fake. Rider tries to kill Plaz, but they stop her and get her arrested. And one other comment on this particular one. I could swear, and I can't point it to you without doing research, but that Ruby character or whatever her name is, Rider, Ruby Rider, she appears in Batman Brave and the Bold animated series, and I think they do something on this thing with Plaz. There are kind of some characters that really stand out in Brave and the Bold. Aquaman, outrageous, and Plastic Man. They really stand out in that series as being above and beyond great characters. And I think that the Zany Haney comics were very influential on the animated series. I love them. It is to this day my favorite Batman animated show is Brave and the Bold. It passed Batman the Animated for me. Everybody will say fuck you, but I also like Batman 89. That's my favorite Batman movie, and it could be that I at that time it's like I needed it, you know, like it influenced me so much, and it just brought so much excitement because we haven't seen Batman on the big screen. There was Batman 66, but that was before I was born. This Batman 89 was like me going to see Superman 78. It was a big fucking deal, man. And I remember the theater. It was by the mall, and Barb was with me, and they opened the doors, and it was like a bum rush to get seats, man. And these weren't fancy seats back then. They were just the plain seats. And me and Barb ran. We had our Batman shirts on, man. We were all decked out, you know, Batman this, Batman that. I had like fucking 20 fucking Batman shirts at that time. I it just made me so excited. And to this day, Batman 89 is my Batman. The other ones, the ones that came after with Cookie Monster, they're good, but I just don't like them. I like the Burton verse, and I'll go down saying that's my favorite. But I am older than most of you people, and I'm different. My experiences are very different for you. So, if I was born a decade later, I might think differently. Might have liked the other Batman more. I don't know, but there's some magic in that Batman 89. That I've seen it more than any other Batman film. I can't even get to watch like Batman Begins or The Dark Knight or whatever the Bane one was over again. Like as far in terms of rewatchability, I just don't have no desire to do it. And with Batman 89, I could watch it anytime. And also the Batman Returns with the Penguin. I love it, but I love Danny DeVito too. After that, I still watch them, but that's where I'm from. And you want to get into my head, that's where I'm at. And yes, I'm not here to appease your popular opinion. I'm here to tell you what I love. And that's what I love. So Showcase 94, that was a man bat is hunted by a party to bring him back to Francine. She's actually hired. One of the hunters is in love with Francine. This is interesting. So it is out to kill Kirk instead of bring him back. Kirk kills the actual hunter. We have Man Bat number 1 and 3. This is the continuation of the Showcase 94 comic book number 11, which was focusing on 94, I believe, focused on Batman characters. They had one year that focused on Superman characters. Ah, Sunny Delight. Man Bat number 1 and 3. A monster was created by an organization is a killing members of the organization. The Langstroms were asked to join the organization but denied. They were denied it. But the monster does not know that. But they denied it. What am I talking about? They were asked to join the organization, but they said, fuck off, okay? People are blaming Man Bat for the killings. Man Bat saves his wife, Francine, and daughter from the attack. It's the first appearance of their son, which was born a bat. They have a daughter that is human. I really enjoyed that Man Bat. Read that in trade. It was for some reason they were reprinting a lot of Man Bat stuff because almost like back-to-back months you had like the Arkham Asylum Man Bat, which focuses on his earlier stuff, and then you had this one, which focuses on the later miniseries. We then got Batman Brave and the Bold number 100. Batman is shot by a bullet and may die. He asked Green Lantern, Green Arrow, and Black Canary to stop drugs from coming into Gotham. The villain is steps ahead of the heroes, as all of the leads turn out to be red herrings. As Batman goes under the knife, the Doctor is the villain and is going to kill Batman until the heroes intervene. The real Doctor is flown in by G Green Lantern just in time to save Batman's life. Really cool issue. I dig some Brave and the Bold. And that you can see I went down a Brave and the Bold tangent. We have Web of Spider-Man 125, continuing my love for the Clone Saga. Peter, this is a 4 out of 5. Peter is now Scarlet Spider when Ben rots away in prison. So they actually switch places because Ben's like, Peter, you need to be out here with MJ. He makes a sacrifice and switches himself in prison. MJ is told from Ben's scientist friend that there is a radioactive anomaly with their baby. You could see why this is like so intense. Okay. Peter discovers two more clones, one of Miles and Gwen living as a married couple together. Miles ends up deteriorating when the Green Goblin attacks the clones, recreating the death of Gwen Stacy over the George Washington Bridge. Man. Good stuff. Spider-Man Unlimited number 9. Harley saying, "Let me in. Let me in. Daddy, let me in." So I'm going to let her in, and then I got to go take a shower so I can get out of the movie. But I like doing these three recap episode things because it's helping me get caught up faster. And I hope you like the longer episodes. I like doing longer episodes anyway. I figure if it's less than an hour, it's too short. At least for me, it is. I base them on me. I don't base them on anybody else. I like my podcast to be 3 hours or more because then I don't have to switch it and it. I go on like two walks a day and I do dishes and all kinds of stuff, activities where I listen to podcasts. I don't at work because I couldn't get a damn thing done if I was listening at the same time. I'm not multi-threaded. But 4 out of 5, Spider-Man Unlimited number 9. Ben takes Peter's place. Oh, I already talked about that. Oh yeah, Ben takes Peter's place in prison. The villains form a posse to go after Kane. Peter now wearing the Scarlet Spider costume. MJ gets a regretted phone call that something is found with their baby and they need to go to the office. We get into the five out of fives. Brave of the Bold, 98. Batman has a godson named Enik. Oh, this is a crazy fucking story. When the father dies, he asks Batman, not Bruce, to take care of his wife and son. Enik is the leader of a cult in the town, and Batman defeats the cult and finds his twin brother. So Enik has a twin brother that they did not know about. And it stars the Phantom Stranger. That could be one of the reasons I loved it too, because Phantom Stranger is the bomb. I find the fascinating character. We have Action Comics number 2. Superman in Washington finds out there's a lobbyist is trying to start a war for money. Oh, this is the class. This is Golden Age Superman, the Action Comics number 2. This is not New 52. I read these and God, I fell in love with them. I think I read them in the 80 Years of Superman. Either that or I pulled out one of the Golden Age omnibuses. Anyway, man, people say that comics didn't have politics in them. This is Golden Age, and politics are all over the fucking comics. But Superman's in Washington finds out that the lobbyists, and you see all the political lobbying that's going on in this comics, are trying to start a war for money. I mean, for money. This is crazy shit that happens today. He gets two generals in the same room, Superman does, and yells fight. So he says, "Fuck you. You guys want to fight a war and have, millions of kids and people die and innocents die? Well, fuck you. You are two generals. I'm gonna put you in a room and you guys kill each other. You guys fucking beat the fuck out of each other." That's what Superman says, but he doesn't use the word fuck, okay? And he says, "You don't even know what you're fighting for. Tell me what you're fighting for." They don't know. And then Superman took pictures for Clark Kent for the paper so he could bring him back. We have Action Comics number 1. I do not remember ever reading this, and it perplexes me to know that I've never read it. That I didn't reread it and reprint somewhere. But this had a three-panel origin, not mentioning Krypton or the parents that picked him up. Superman saves a woman from an electric chair and captures the woman that did it. Superman beats up the wife beater. Clark goes on a date with Lois, and gangsters want to steal the dance. And Clark allows it, but Lois does not. Lois takes off, and the gangsters go after her, but Superman saves the day. Clark and Superman go to Washington, D.C. to take down an evil lobbyist. It's the first appearance of Zatara, because there's a Zatara story, and Tong, who takes down a railroad con led by Tigress. She gets away. Does do magic by speaking backwards. So that's Zatanna's father, Zatara. And I haven't read much Zatara, so it was very interesting to me. Absolutely loved it. These took me down. I really need to go down the rabbit hole of some Golden Age Superman. I really do, because this has me more excited than going down the Batman Golden Age, and I don't know what it is right now, but the mood of the comics, really, really fantastic. So that was for April 23rd through April 29th, 18 comics that week. This wraps up the show, and I want to just tell you what some of the fives were. Five out of fives. We had Golden Age Action Comics 1 and 2, Brave and the Bold 98, Silver Age. We then get into an Image comic, which is Oblivion Song number 1, Defenders number 20, Bronze Age comic, Harcourt Legacy Current Time Frame from Action Lab, Danger Zone, and We had Amazing Spider-Man 400 and 401, Spectacular Spider-Man 222 to 224, Web of Spider-Man 123, 124, Spider-Man 57 and 58. That was the Clone Saga that just blew me away, and 400 could be possibly one of my, if not my favorite Spider-Man story ever told. Aphrodite 9 IX 2 through 11. This was me going down the Cyberforce and then Cyberforce 11. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed doing it. If you have questions, I think I have questions I still need to get to. I can't remember. I'm gonna have to go back to my latest episode and see what questions I answered. So I want to thank you for listening. You can always send questions and I will stockpile them, and I already know what I'm doing next episode, which is a good caveat. If I haven't gone through all those questions yet, I have to go look, because it's been a while since I recorded actually. So thank you all for listening. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. Best place to reach me is at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. That's MYERS, just like Halloween movie or Austin Powers. You can also go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com, where you'll find some fabulous podcasts, 3 hours in length, of Geek Brunch Retro with me, Rob, and Chris talking about things that are 10 years or older. Mostly comics, but there are other stuff in there. You can listen to Geek Brunch, which is me and Bill talking mostly about indie comics, but some DC and Marvel bleed into there, and trades. I think you'll enjoy that. That talks about food also, and TV and movies. So it talks about life. That's Geek Brunch Podcast with me and Bill Bomer. And then you can tune in to Mike M's Collector's Corner. That's just me talking to collectors like you. And I tend to do that more when I have time at night. And it's been rough for me because of work, like just getting scheduled, for scheduling things. And then there's this podcast, which is the easiest one for me to do, because I just pick up a headset whenever I'm free. And I walk around the kitchen, walk around the table, and I talk about comics that I love so much. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you send me questions or topics. I'll gladly. Keith Knutson just sent me. He's in Baltimore Comic Con, and they got a fire alarm at their hotel this morning. How about that? How about them apples? They're at Baltimore Comic Con without me. Didn't get to go because of work this year. And we will talk to you later. Bye bye.